Please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, as we continue our reading of this great Old Testament historical book, this morning we will read the entirety of the chapter. And this chapter tells of the formal rejection of Saul from being king over Israel. The last time I did the scripture reading, I had chapter 13, which is where the Lord rejects Saul's dynasty, and now he's rejecting Saul outright. In the opening of this verse, or the opening of this chapter, we see that Samuel tells Saul that he is to go and destroy the people of Amalek. Not a single soul or creature is to be left alive. And these kinds of commands often give Christians pause. How could a God of grace, how could a God of mercy command such destruction of an entire nation? And what we see as we read this passage is, first of all, that Saul fails to keep the command. But also, as we'll read the passage, these Amalekites are not innocent bystanders. They are wicked sinners. As Samuel will say of Agag, he, by his sword, has made many women childless, and the nation of Amalek has been opposed and hostile to God's people for centuries. We read even from the time that they came out of Egypt. So these are not innocent bystanders. Rather, they had had decades, centuries even, to seek God's mercy and had refused. But lest we get distracted, the point of the passage is very clear. Saul received a clear command of the Lord, destroy it all. And he thought, well, yes, except for the things that I like. And evidently, he did not recognize the disconnect between the command and his action. And we know this because when Samuel comes to greet him, Saul says, "Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." He had not seriously considered that he was to do exactly as God said and not add to it in any way. The word of the Lord to him was more of a guideline. And this is what Samuel means when he then turns and confronts Saul and says, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And he's saying, whether you understand this or not, your position is important. And God's word is important. This is not a game. This is real life. This is serious business. And so Saul then attempts to defend himself once more in verses 20 and 21, where he says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the best of the things that were devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And what's he saying there? He's saying, wouldn't it be better if we kept alive these perfectly good sheep, these perfectly good oxen, and we'll use them for the Lord? Are we not so often the same way ourselves? Thinking of ways that we can improve, modify, heighten the command of the Lord? That we can twist it to something maybe even better? And that's why Samuel rebukes him, saying, to obey is better than sacrifice, and presumption is iniquity. We may have the best of intentions in the world, and yet our presumption is seen as iniquity and rebellion by the God that we desire to serve. And finally, in this passage, I want to note that we see two examples of repentance, one that is sincere and one that is not. And the first is not sincere, and that's the repentance of Saul himself. He says, I have sinned in verse 24. And yet I want to contend that this is not true repentance. And the Bible gives us at least three clues for why it's not true repentance. First of all, he asks forgiveness from Samuel, not from the Lord. All sin is chiefly committed against the Lord. David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Secondly, this is not an admission of his hate and his distaste of experiencing the filthiness and odiousness of his sins, as we confessed. Rather, he desires to be restored, what? For the sake of appearance. He says, honor me, in verse 30, honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. And finally, we know that this is not sincere repentance, because repentance is repentance unto life and an endeavor to follow after God in new obedience. And what we see and will see in the coming chapters of this book is that does not characterize Saul at all. the true repentance, the sincere repentance in this passage, is actually expressed by the Lord himself. He says in verse 11 and verse 35, the Lord regretted, or repented, it could be translated, that he had made Saul king over Israel. But we also read in verse 29 that God is not a man that he should have regret. And so what are we to make of this? How is it that God, the sovereign, all-knowing God who foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, how could he have regret? How could he have repentance? I think the best explanation is that Samuel in these verses is recognizing two of God's attributes alongside of each other. One is his compassion for wayward sinners. Our God is a compassionate and gracious God who is grieved over the sin of those who will not come to him. Dale Ralph Davis writes of this section, "This does not intend to suggest Yahweh's fickleness of purpose, but his sorrow over sin. It does not depict Yahweh as flustered over lack of foresight, but Yahweh grieved over lack of obedience. But at the same time, he is not man that he should have regret. He has a sovereign purpose. He intended for Saul to fall. Why? So that he might establish David and enter into the Davidic covenant and make the promise of the coming Messiah, who would be the true king of God's people, who would subdue us to himself and restraining and conquering all of his and our enemies as he rules and defends us. God has great redemptive purposes in what we find in this word, namely the coming of the Lord Jesus. Well, with these thoughts in mind, let's give ear now to the holy, inerrant, and life-giving word of God, 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 1. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.' And so Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, 'Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt.' So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments.' And Samuel was angry and cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he has set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.' And Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?' Saul said, 'They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction.' Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night.' And he said to him, 'Speak.' And Samuel said, 'Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, "Go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better to than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may go and bow before the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of his robe, and it tore. And Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may bow before the Lord your God. And so Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul bowed before the Lord. Then Samuel said, Bring here to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him cheerfully. Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag to pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. As far as the reading of God's word, may he write its truths on our hearts. Amen.